a little bit the topic of the tchelis for the tzitzis, and possibly also for the big kahuna, the tchelis is required, has to come from a halozon. So the shayla is whether a halozon has to necessarily be a kosher fish or not. The Gemara said we have two sources. The Gemara Kuf Ches Amud Aleph is part of a larger story that appeared a little earlier in Perek Amim Adlikin. The Gemara learned that from the pasuk Leman Tietar Hashem Beficha Min Amuta Beficha. That's on the second white line, Adav Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, that whenever you're writing Divrei Torah, namely on Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, or on the Bayit Rosh, which has the shin on it, so then you have to have Min Amuta Beficha. It has to be Or Behema Tahor. What about the Ritzuas, where there is no Osof Torah? There are no Divrei Torah there. So the Gemara says, and that cannot be based on this pasuk. Torah Hashem b'sichah and amuta b'sichah. That's rather based on halacha l'moshe misina gmiri. Mir means we have an oral tradition that lehuchshu l'malecha shamayim l'or behema tohar b'lvad. So that covers even the ritzuas. That's what Tosis has the famous comment. Why is there a need at all for the halacha l'moshe misina? But the Gemara says that kershe shel tefillin is needed halacha l'moshe misina. And Rashi interprets that to mean that the kesher on the shal yad has to be a yud, and kesher on the shal rosh has to be a dalet. So again, you have a letter, and Rashi puts together the shin on the bay shal rosh, the dalet on the ritzua shal rosh, and the yud on the ritzua of the tefillin shal yad. So it spells out shin dalet yud, and this how Rashi in brachas davov interprets the pasuk. Baro kalami hor, it's in parshas kisovoy. Baro kalami hor, it's kishem Hashem nikra adacha b'yor v'imeko. And the Gemara says this is a reference to the Tzilin Shal Rosh. So Rashi says, why is it a reference to the Tzilin Shal Rosh? Because it's shem Hashem nikra adacha, the shin and the dalet of the shem, shin dalet yod, appear, the majority of the three letters appear on the Shal Rosh. So according to Rashi, the Ritzuas also have oisius. If the shin is a letter and the dalet and yod are also letters, all three together spell out shem Hashem nikra adacha, and the Bayis Shal Rosh doesn't need a halacha l'moshe misina because of the shin. One oif of Divrei Torah is enough. So the Ritzuas, each one of the Ritzuas also has a letter. So that's what prompts Tosfos to disagree with Rashi, and they say that Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha does not refer to the Dalet and the Yud. They say that Kesha Shal Tfil in halacha l'moshe misina means that there should be a Kesha. But the fact that this Kesha should be Bitzuras Yud and that Kesha should be Bitzuras Dalet, that they seem to assume is only the Rabbanah. That's not part of the halacha l'moshe misina. The shin is halacha l'moshe misina. So that's a word of Divrei Torah. A letter of Divrei Torah is covered with the din of Torah Hashem l'ficha min amuta b'ficha. Dalad and Yud are not oisius at all. So I call part of the Gemara. How's Rashi going to answer Tosfos Kasha? So that's Tosfos Kasha. Okay. How does Rashi deal with this? So Rabbel v'los olaveitchi can say Father Rambam has a little bit of a suggestion. Maybe we should distinguish between the shin as opposed to the dalad niyud, that the shin is really an os, and the dalad niyud are a kesher that look like an os. A fine distinction. It's not really an os, it's a kesher b'tzuras dalad, a kesher b'tzuras yud. So since it's not really an os, so it's not covered with the din of Torah Hashem l'ficha, as opposed to the shin on the bayis shel rosh, that's an actual shin. That halacha says that's an os. Whatever the answer will be, I'll call upon him. The Gemara says that in addition to the pasuk, you have halach l'moshe misinai, l'huchshu l'malecha shamayim alar behema Torah b'uvad, that even when there are no divrei Torah, you also require that it should be min amuta b'fichah. So in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, they quote from the Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Ran on the Rif, that not only does this apply to the ritzuas of the tefillin, which are tashmishu kedusha, it even applies to a shofar, which is really tashmish and mitzvah. The Gemara Megillah has a braisa which distinguishes between tashmish and mitzvah and tashmish and kedusha. If you have an old sefer Torah that can't be corrected, have an old shofar, an old talis that nobody wants to wear, an old shofar, it's broken, nobody wants to, can't use it anymore. So what do you do with it? So the Gemara says that if it's tashmish and mitzvah, it's rocking. You can throw it out in the garbage. The Rashba quotes a raivid that you shouldn't throw it together with the dirty garbage. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Basically, it doesn't have to be put into the Shemus at all. You throw it out in the garbage. As opposed to Tashmishei Kedusha, which are Nignozim. Even if you can't fix it, you have an old tefillin, an old mezuzah, which can't be fixed at all, so then you have to put it in the shemes, you have to bury it. So the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Ran, there is that not only is there a requirement of Torah Hashem b'ficha min amuta b'ficha by Tashmishe Kiddusha, it even applies to Tashmishe Mitzvah, that a shofar has to be made from a horn of a kosher animal. You cannot use the horn of a non-kosher animal to make a shofar, because that would be, it wouldn't be in violation of the pasuk Torah Hashem b'ficha, the Ran and Divrei Torah there, but it would be a violation of the Hilchasa of the Alocha Moshe Sina Gemiri, the Lehuchshu Lemelachu Shamayim, Elohar Behema Torah Bolvad. And the same is quoted in Ebenezer, in Hilchos Chalitza, they quote the Tosis and Yavam, the Tarek Mitzvah Chalitza quotes the Rabbein Atam, that the Chalitza shoe has to be made from leather. That's a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether that is so. So we assume that that is the case. We machma like those tanaim that has to be made from leather. Not just we machma, we paskin la locha. That's a Masecha Shabbos, also a Machlokes. Whether it's considered a shoe, if it's megin, if it protects the foot, even if it's not made from leather, only if it's made from leather. So it's an afkemina lohake lolach, and it's an afkemina for chalitza, whether the chalitza shoe requires that it should be made from leather, an afkemina for Shabbos and Tisha B'Av, and an afkemina for Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av and Shiva, Avela Shiva, that nilas sandal is not allowed. Does it have the status of a shoe, of a sandal, if it's not made from leather? So we are machmer by chalitza, and we are makel by Yom Kippur, and on Tisha B'Av and on Shiva, that one is permitted to wear sneakers as long as they don't have any leather in them. As long as it doesn't have leather, it's not considered a shoe. So with this is based on a pasuk in Yecheskel, that it says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, so he pampered us and he took care of us like one would take care of a baby, and you diaper the baby, you smear the baby with oil, and so on. And then the pasuk continues to say, Be'enolach tochash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on shoes from tachash leather on the Jewish people. So tachash, the Gemara says in Bamei Madlikin, was a kosher animal. How does the Gemara know it was a kosher animal? If they never had it in the days of the Gemara says tachash was only there the shore. It was only an animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu when they needed it for the Mishkan. So how did the Gemara know that it has to be a kosher animal? So the Gemara says because Gemiri, the Lehuchshu Lamalach Hashamayim Alar Behem Tar Bolvad, if you're using the or tachash for the Mishkan, so it must be that's a Tashmishi Kedusha. So it must be that it's a kosher animal. So the Rabbi Natam is quoted in the Taisus and Yevamis and Perek Mitzvah Chalitza saying that for a Chalitza shoe, you can only use leather from a kosher animal. Most of the, almost all the shoes that we wear are made from horse leather. So horse leather shoes would not be acceptable for a Chalitza. You have to have dafke leather from a kosher animal. What did Rabbi Natam say? That on your kippah you're allowed to wear horse leather shoes. And in Shiva you're allowed to wear horse leather shoes. Mistama, not. Mistama, the difference between kosher leather from a kosher animal as opposed to leather from a non-kosher animal, Mistama, the distinction only applies with respect to the mitzvah of chalitza. That the Rabbi Natam agrees with the Ran, that the halacha l'moshe nisina l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim alor behem ator b'lvad doesn't only limit itself to the instances of Tashmishi Kedusha, even applies to Tashmishi Mitzvah, and the Chalitza Shu is a Tashmishi Mitzvah. And Hilchas Shu, Stam Hill agreed that any leather is called a shoe. So Tisha B'Av and Shiva in Yom Kippur, any shoe will be also to wear. You can make horse leather, but for the purpose of the Mitzvah of Chalitza, that's a Mitzvah, it's not just a Matzah. Mitzvah is Chalitza. Why we don't say a Broch is a good question. How come there's no Broch all the Chalitza? So we should discuss that kasha. It's not that the no bracha is recited because it doesn't constitute a mitzvah. It certainly is a mitzvah. This is proves at the end of Nida that you shouldn't say chalitza is only a matir. You have to assume that it's a mitzvah because on the level of deraisa, you never find the lechatchila deraisa in any area of a matir. And by chalitza, a lot of things are just lechatchila. The rikika, the spitting, and the kriyas of psukim, the reciting of the psukim is only lechatchila. But yeah, but it's not miyakeh. So if chalitza constitutes a mitzvah, Tosfos argues, then it makes sense. You fulfill a mitzvah b'shelei musa by doing all three. You have the kriyas ha'psukim. He says lachafatz v'kachdash. She says may any bar milahok and lachshem v'yisrael. They say psukim back and forth. You have the kriyas ha'psukim. You have the chalitza taking off the shoe, and you have the rikika, the spitting. So then the mitzvah d'shleimus is done in such a way means that they're going to get olam ha'emes, they're going to get such a big chunk of olam ha'bo. And if they do the chalitza without the kriyas ha'psukim and without the rikikas, so they're going to get less olam ha'bo. But she's just going to be muteris lashuk in the same way. But if one should assume, Tosfos argues, that chalitza is only a matir like a get, it's not a mitzvah, so it doesn't make sense that you should have a lachatchila deraisa. Lachatchila is only matir under these conditions, but you have this matir without those conditions. If it's muta b'dievet, so it's muta lachatchila, so why should you try lachatchila to make it a better heftar? What do you mean a better heftar? Muta is muta, by definition. That's the Tosfos that says, people misquote that Tosfos, that there's no lachatchila b'dievet on the level of deraisa, only on the levels of the rabbanon. You have to add on a little bit. There's no lachatchila deraisa in the area of a matir. In the area of a mitzvah, there are many lachatchilas deraisa. Lachatchila, when you bring a korban chatos in the Beis Hamikdash, you do four zrikas. And b'dievet the din is that if you only did one zrika, you yoytze. Many dinim like that. Lachatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus of tzitzis is tchelus and lovan. If you only have tchelus, you don't have lovan, and you only have lovan, you don't have tchelus, then the din is that you yoytze mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. You have many cases like that. That lachatchila you should fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimus, and b'dievet you yoytze the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. But Tosfos says clearly, it's only in the area of a matir that we make such a distinction. That there are dinim lachatchila by a get, that are not miyaki b'dievet, all of those dinim are clearly only midrabbanan. There's no lachatchila deraisa by a get. Because get is not a mitzvah, chalitza is a mitzvah, Tosfos says. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that's what others say when the Rabbi Natam insisted that you have to have, for the chalitza shoe, that it has to be leather from a kosher animal. He didn't carry this over to Yom Kippur and to Tisha B'Av and Tavim. It's all he meant by chalitza, because chalitza is a mitzvah. There's another question. Does it mean chalitza is a mitzvah even if the woman is not interested in remarrying? Let's say the couple was married for 70 years. The husband dies at the age of 95. He got married at the age of 25. Dies at 95. They never had any children. The wife is already 95 also. Between 90 and 90, she's not interested in remarrying. So they say it's a mitzvah to perform chalitza even if she's not interested in remarrying. Or maybe you should say, no, it's only a mitzvah to perform chalitza in the case that the woman is interested in remarrying. Others mistakenly thought that chalitza is only a matir. So of course you don't need a matir if the woman doesn't plan to remarry. So that's what the poskim is saying. No, that's out of the question. Tosfos demonstrated that that's not correct. Tosfos shows in the end of Nida that chalitza is a mitzvah. But there's still room to discuss. Maybe it only constitutes a mitzvah in the event that the woman is interested in remarriage. She's not interested in remarrying, then maybe the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So this is a discussion in the Nodi Yehuda whether the chalazon fish, the Gemara says chalazon is a dog, whatever that means, a sea creature, fish, sea creature, whatever it's supposed to be. Does the chalazon necessarily have to be a kosher fish? Because if you're using it to dye tzitzis, even though tzitzis is only tashmishei mitzvah, but we assume lahalacha that even tashmishei mitzvah, we apply this rule of lehuchshul lemalacha shamayim lahar behemet tar bilvad. So does that rule? Nadi Bihuda is not sure, and his son has a long essay about this, and others have. See, the fish that the Radvina Rebbe identified as the chalazon is not a kosher fish. The squid fish is not a kosher fish. So he has in his svarim about, he wrote three svarim on tchelas. Now they print all three together. It's called Shloshes Sifrei HaTchelas. So in his svarim on the tchelas, he talks about this, obviously. He's pushing for the opinion, for the tzad, that it does not have to be a kosher fish, because he thought that he identified the squid as the chalazon. It's not a kosher fish. So the tzad that the Nadi Yehuda raises is that the Gemara in Bava Kama in Agoizel raises a suffix whether Chazusa Milsehi or Chazusa La Milsehi. When you have something that's dyed blue, or you have something else that's dyed brown. So the Gemara has a suffix, do you consider the color as something separate from the sefer? You say, I have a sefer and I have a dye. But you say, no, the dye is absorbed in the sefer and it's not considered as a cheftza b'fnei atzmo. So what's the nafka mina? So the Gemara has a few very doctor's dick and nafka mina. Nafka mina is for a lot of money. The Gemara has cases. Nafka mina is for halacha. Yisuri hanoa, a beggar shetzava, bikli peyorla. They're very important nafka mina, but it's a very unclear suffix. What exactly is the Gemara misupik about? The Gemara suffix is whether you can tell a difference in the color. Of course you can tell this is blue and that's brown. Of course, you can tell. So, what's a suffix? Whether chazus and milsi, is it considered as if it's a separate entity that's bien, or not considered a separate entity bien? It's very unclear what the shaila is. Like in Shulchan Aruch, there is a major machlokes achrayim. Let's say a non-kosher. This happens all the time. The shaila comes up all the time in food processing industry today. A non-kosher ingredient gets mixed into a whole bunch of kosher ingredients, and you come up with a food item, and the non-kosher ingredient does not give any flavor at all. What is it? And it's not a davar hamamid. There's no reason why it should not be bottled. Why did they put it in? Is the question. Okay. Well, what prompted them to put it in the first place? Is the question. But it's not nice and tam, and it's not a davar hamamid. But when this non-kosher ingredient gets mixed into the whole mixture, it changes. It clearly changes the color of the whole thing. You can tell that it's there because of the fact that it changed its color. So the Mechaber and the Ramo and Yerideya both assume that the fact that it changes the color is no reason to declare that it's not bottled. If it's not nice and tam, and it's not a davar hamamid, so it becomes bottled. And the Pri Chodosh disagrees, and he thinks since the Gemara had a suffix in Bava Kama, whether Chazusa Milsihi or Chazusa La Milsihi, according to the Tzad, that you should say Chazusa Milsihi means it's considered as if it's Bien, as if the coloring is considered as if it's Bien. So if it's Bien, so how can you say that it's Bottle? So the a group of Paskim hold that this case is included in the Suffolk of the Gemara. And since in the Gemara it's an Ibai Delev Shita, so how do you deal with an Ibai Delev Shita Loch Alamaisa? So we usually assume Derech Klal, unless you have some reason to assume, otherwise, we usually assume that with respect to an issue Deraisa, you go to Chumra, and an Ibai Delev Shita, with respect to an issue Derabban, you go to Kula. Suffolk Deraisa, the Chumra, and Suffolk Derabban, the Kula. So this is the Hakarov that has some Sefer and a lot of Paskim. That's a major opinion against the Mechaber and the Ramo, against the Shulchan Aruch, that whenever a non-kosher ingredient gets mixed in and it changes the color of the whole thing, and it's obvious that it's there because it affected a change in the color, the Mechaber and the Ramo say that it's bottled anyway. The Chassam Sofer says it depends what the nature of the Issa was that fell in. If it's an Issa deraisa, then it's an Abidal of Shita, whether Chazus and Milsihi, whether he treated as a Biyed, and therefore you have to go to Chumr. And if it's only an Issa de Rabbana to begin with, then you have a right to go to Kula. And Pri Chodesh himself, who raised this whole issue in disagreement with the Mechaber and Ramo, he thinks, no, this is worse than the topic in the Gemara. This L'chola there should be not bottled. It's Nikar Ha'isa. You can see that it changed the color. It's Nikar Ha'isa. And it has nothing to do with their Gemara's Abidal of Shita, whether Chazus and Milsihi or not. You have the three opinions. Mechaber and Ramo hold that it's always bottled. The Pri Chodesh holds that it's never bottled. It has nothing to do with any Gemara. And the Chassam Sofer and many others, that's the Haskama of the later Poskim, they say that this belongs in the Gemara's Ibad Lefshi. So this is the unclear issue that was brought up by the Nerev Yehuda, who's also apparently fishing around. They were trying to figure out what exactly is the Halozen fish. Was it a kosher fish? Was it a non-kosher fish? So he raised the possibility that even if the Halozen should be a non-kosher fish, maybe it's still possible, maybe it's still permissible to use the dye from the halozen fish for the purpose of the big dekuna, for the purpose of the tzitzis. Perhaps we should assume that chazus elav milsi. So Shailah, the new trailers that they use now in Eretz is also a non-kosher thing. It's not at all from a kosher fish. So this is all on the assumption, like the Radzina Rebbe, that we're being typhus, that there's no issue over here.
You mentioned before the Ron and Tashmisha Mitzvah and Tashmisha Kedusha have to be from the kosher animal. So why do you need a special halacha of Mimashka Israel without the Akravas Korbanos? Isn't that included in Tashmisha Kedusha, Tashmisha Mitzvah?
Very strong kasha, yeah. That's a very strong kasha. I don't know. The Gemara, in fact, the Menachas Daf Hei says that there are three psukim to pasal Behema Trefa. So Gemara explains why I need three psukim. You have to look there. Maybe Tosis discusses it. Gemara gives a chiluk in why you need three psukim. So maybe Tosis discusses what about the fourth pasuk of Lehuchshu Lamalecha Shamayim. I don't remember. Sounds like a very good kasha. There is a discussion in the Pischei Tshuva in Eben Ezer. that runs as follows. The Gemara says that you are permitted to use the hide of a behemoth tahora even if it turned out that it's an avela or a trefa. You're just not allowed to use the hide of a behemoth tmeo. But if it's the or behemoth tahora, so it doesn't bother me the fact that it's an avela or a trefa. Why not? It all depends on the type of the animal. It has to be dafka behemoth tmeo. That's what's possible. Behemoth tahora is okay, even though it's also bachila. Why? So the answer is the hide is never also bachila. The hide, the Isra of Macholos Asuros only goes on the Basar. The Gidin, the Apsomis, the Kanaim, and the Tlofim, and the Or, it's not Bechlal Basar. Once in a while, Or is Bechlal Basar, when you have very soft Or. There are different parts of Or on the animal. Most of the Or is tough, and it's not included Bechlal Basar. Once in a while, you have something. The Gemara talks under the ears and in the neck. It's a different kinds of leather, different kinds of hide that are thinner than other kinds of hide. So the Pesachei Tshuva has a discussion in Yerideya. He has it in Hilchos Sefer Torah, and he has it in three different places. Maybe this halacha lehuchshu lemalecha shamayim and so on, Torah Hashem b'ficha and amuta b'ficha. Maybe it only applies if it's or behemoth tmeo, if the animal itself is behemoth man, you're using the or itself. What if you're using ayotim in atomi, you're using some excretion? Let's say you'll use milk from a behemoth tmeo. So milk from behemoth tmeo is also bachila, but it's not the actual behemoth tmeo itself. The Rama's opinion, for example, is that if a person drinks milk from a behemoth tmeo, there's no malchus. Tosis disagrees. Tosis and Elu Trefus disagrees with the Rambam, but the Rambam is the famous Shita Sar Rambam that the lav of eating a behemoth may only goes on the basar. Ayotzim and atomei tomei. The Mishnah in the first parak in Chorus, that whatever comes out, the milk or the beitzim of an oaf tomei, are also also bachila. That's an iser esse. It's not an iser lois esse. So the Pesachei Tshuva raises the possibility, and this is what the Nevi Yehuda's son has in his essay also about the Tchelos. They raise the possibility that maybe this din of lehuch shul amalach shamayim only goes on the actual guf ha-behemot mei itself, but if you have some excretion that comes from it, as for example the trelis is an excretion that comes out from some duct or something, it's a hormone or something like that, or an enzyme or something. It's not part of the bisar ha-behema, not part of the dag tummy itself. So it could be that that's bechlal not included in the whole din. There was an issue years ago, 30 years ago, they realized that they were blackening the tefillin with some kind of an excretion from a sheret stomach with shellac. In days of Nadi Yehuda, they did that also. Nadi Yehuda has another tshuva. He has two tshuvas. He has another tshuva about that. That's also quoted in the Shari tshuva, next to the Behetim on Arachayim. They used to paint the tefillin black, and in order that it should look pretty, they wanted to have that the tefillin should sparkle and shine, so they used to grind up elephant husks. What do you call it? Tusks. They used to grind it up, and the powder, so they shine very much. And the powder would be mixed in with the black dye, so that would cause the tefillin to be shiny, to be sparkling. So the Nadi Behuda has a discussion about that, whether that's included. That's his part of his discussion about chazusa milsa, chazusa lav milsa. So around 35 years ago, they realized that the sofrim were painting the tefillin black. They were coating it with a very thick shiny substance that was an excretion from a sheret stomach, from some kind of bug, some kind of thing that's called shellac. So there's this shellac they use on candies. It's excretion from the sheret stomach. They use it on candies that it should be very shiny on the outside, so people go for that, and they painted it on the outside of the tefillin also. So Moshe has a tshuva that maybe it's kosher. Moshe has a whole tshuva, maybe the stuff is kosher. Now, if he didn't teach the limit that it's not kosher, it could be to put it on the candy that people eat, so that you got to assume that it's kosher. But to paint it on top of the tefillin, there's a tzad to say that even if it would be also bachilo because of yotzim and atame, So the Pesachei Tshuva in Yeridei in a few places quotes a Svara to say that that's not included in a Lehuch Shul of Malach Hashamayim. Lehuch Shul of Malach Hashamayim only goes on the Or Behemot Tmeyu itself. It may not be used. But if you have a Yotz Menatami, it's also Bachilo. It's like Nevedas of Trefus, that it doesn't bother me. Only if the actual thing itself is a part of a Behemot Tmeyu. If it's a Yotz Menatami, Yotz Menatami is also Bachilo, but it's not a Loisese. It's not the actual Behemot Tmeyu itself. What one? Blood. Blood is a yetzim and atome. It's not. That's the question. Whether dam is bechlal basa or dam is not bechlal basa. Taisus in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet Amud Aleph proves conclusively they pilpul about it and they come to the conclusion that dam is not included in basa. So dam is something. Let's say I'll cook dam with milk. So the Gemara says there won't be a din of basa b'cholav on it. Dam is not included b'chol basa. Dam is called a yotzim and atami, like milk. It's a yotzim and atami. It's not the actual thing itself. Anyway, this daf Gemara Kuf Chesem and Aleph is very relevant halacha l'maaseh in different areas. Comes up in different areas. We had a Gemara Kuf Zayin on the base. Towards the bottom of Kuf Zayin on the base, a very surprising Gemara. The Gemara sounds like it's saying that there's an Iser, one of the 39 Melachos on Shabbos is quotes there, and the Gemara refers to that as Oikadov Migidulo, when you detach something that's growing from the ground. So the Gemara sounds like it says that Hoshit Yod Lemei Behema, a cow is pregnant with an uber, and somebody detaches the uber from the mother. It sounds from the simple reading, superficial reading of the Gemara, that that's a violation of kotzer. Does the Gemara mean to say that he kills the uber, or the Gemara mean to say that he detached the uber from the mother and it's still alive? So this is a machlekes in the Rishayim. Does it mean only if he kills the uber, even if the uber is alive? It'll still be a violation of kotzer. Kotzer by animals, it's very surprising. Usually we're used to thinking of kotzer on gidule karka. How could there be such a thing as kotzer on animals? So some Rishayim said, yes, if you have a full animal that was born already, that has animal life to it, that either has shochet or nothing at all, there isn't going to be any kotzer there. But if you have an uber that wasn't yet born, so that doesn't yet have the din of a balchai. How do you know it doesn't have the din of a balchai? How did the Gemara know that an uber doesn't even have the din of balchai? So the Meiri on this daf proves it from the Mishnah in Nida, that the Mishnah says that if you kill an uber, you're not chayiv misa. You only chayiv misa if you kill a person. And then the Meiri says, and pray tell, how did the Mishnah know? Tinik ben yomechod, a horga nergal. Tinik ben yomechod means it was born already. It's one day old. If the baby, they deliver the baby at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so 1:20, someone kills the baby, so you chayiv misa. A horga nergal. And if he killed the uber before it was born, so from the Mishnah it's clear that you're not chayiv misa. And how did the Mishnah know that that's so? So the Miri says, well, that's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Even though he has the kasha. Even though the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if a non-Jew kills an uber, he's chayiv misa, because it says shofer tam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishofer. So the Gemara says, even though the simple reading of the pasuk is shofer tam ha'adam kama, one who kills a person, the bezin should put him to death. The human beings are mechayiv to put him to death. So the Gemara says there's an additional level of interpretation that we read shafech tam ha'adam ba'adam kama dama yishafech, that if you kill a person who's inside another person who's an adam shemanimza b'tech ha'adam, that's an uber. So even though the Gemara points out in Sanhedrin that b'nei noecha chayiv al ha'ubrin, if the nochri kills an uber, he's chayiv misa, but the Mishnah in Nida says that this din doesn't apply to b'nei yisrael. How did the Tanoim know that it doesn't apply to b'nei yisrael? So the Miri says it's enough in a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. And the parsha of the Mevulotis says, "Ki natsu anashim v'nakvi shohar v'yotsu yoladeha." So the one who caused the woman to lose her pregnancy is obligated to pay. You pay to the father of the baby. Pasuk sounds like you pay to the husband. So the Gemara says, even if they're not married, the Gemara says, "Balkam." Doesn't have to be married to the woman. You pay to the. It says balhuisha. The Gemara says it doesn't mean balhuisha. It means boyalhuisha. You pay to the father of the baby, the Dmei Velodis. So the Pasuk says that's only, the Chiv that pays Dmei Velodis only applies in Lo Yosef. if the woman didn't accidentally get killed. If the woman was killed, then we apply the rule of Kamblei B'Drabminei, and when Asata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, you don't have to pay the Demei V'Lodesh. So the Shaila is, the Miri raises the question, so how come you ever have to pay the Demei V'Lodesh? Why don't you say that it should always be Kamblei B'Drabminei because you killed the Uber? Killing an Uber should be Chayv Misa. Shafer Tam Ha'adam Ba'adam Dam Yishafer. So obviously that din, Shafer Tam Ha'adam Ba'adam, only applies to Bnei Noach. And here the Pasuk is talking about Yisrael. So by Yisrael, Ahor against the Uber is not Chayv Misa. So therefore, you can't apply the principle of Kamblei B'Drabminei. So that's a Beferish Pasuk. That's what the Miri writes over here. That's a Beferish Pasuk that before the Uber is born, he doesn't yet have the full status of a human being, and if it's a behemoth, does he not have the full status of a balchai? So therefore, if you kill a person, you chay misa. You kill a dumbi, you're not chay misa. If you kill a behemoth on Shabbos, you chay misa because of shoychet netilas nesham. If you kill an uber, you're not chay mishum shoychet. But a lower form of life is vegetative life, so that's a malach of kotzer. So if you detach fruits and vegetables that are growing from the ground, that'll be kotzer. So here also, if you kill an Uber, that'll be a violation of Kotzer. And then the Rishonim have the two Pshatim. Doesn't mean he killed the Uber, it doesn't mean he detached it. You can say either way. Either is possible. Either you detach the Uber and it's alive on its own. It's no longer living off of the mother. Or Dafke, if he killed the Uber. The two Pshatim, the Rishonim have.
At what point do we become high of being alive? More sort of discussing the power of being God during the
I have to apologize. I have a sinus condition. I can't hear. Could you say a little louder?
At what point exactly is there a person considered the stop being Uber become the life?
When is the baby alive? Yeah.
Right. So they're discussing it. Here you're kind of giving some money so they can kill the baby on the way out.
Yeah.
So they've been puttered by that? Is it considered Uber on the way out?
B'nei Noach would be high. I mean, Yisrael would not be high. Yeah. The Gemara tells you when it's later. The Gemara says at the point of later, Yotza Rosho. Yotza Rosho is Yolud. Yotze Rosha from where? So that's a big machlokes in Achrein, Sidri Tara. And Hilchas Nida has a machlokes. Yotze Rosha out of the cervix, or Yotze Rosha michutz legufo isha, chutz lerechen, because the cervix is deeper in. So that's a big machlokes, nagea halacha lamaisa. Let's say the din is that a mila bizmana is decha Shabbos. When is it called a mila bizmana? If it's on the eighth day after the Leda. So what's the definition of the Leda? So if sometimes there's a pause. It's not going to take so long a time, but you can have a pause of a few minutes where the Yotze Rosha Chutz Le cervix will occur on one day, and the Yotze Rosha Chutz Le Gufo Isha will occur a few minutes later, maybe Bein Hashmashes, and maybe one was Bein Hashmashes, the other one will be after Tzeisel Kachav. So that's a major machlokes in Achrenim. Yotze Rosh El Chutz Lewea is called Veda.
You can bring a rice and then put Kua,
because that pasuk, yeah, that it doesn't, it's not, it's nita b'shchita simo.
Is that considered part of the mother?
Part of the mother, the Rambam writes like that. The Rambam writes that when you shech the cow that's pregnant, the lad doesn't need its own shchita, he says, ubi yerachimo. Now, ubi yerachimo in general is a machlekes atanoim and a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid, how to paskin. And this is muskam l'holaday, it's a din of so it's probably a malif in the Rambam. He says Ubi Yerachimo. It means for purposes of Shechita it's considered Ubi Yerachimo. Yeah, we see from Ben Pekua that it is permissible. The Karoim used to preach that it's not permissible to shech the behemah mu'uberis because of Osavi Hezbenot. Because if you shech the mother, the uber is nita b'shechita sima. So that's already in one shot the shechting Osavi Hezbenot. So the Rambam writes a statement that doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's clearly a statement to dispute the Karaim. He says, Muta lishcha tesamu beres, uba yerachimo. What do you mean, Muta lishcha tesamu beres? Of course it's Muta. There's never a discussion in the Gemara. So that line in the Rambam, that's what Professor Simcha Asaf has a book on the Gaonim, has a lot of books. on the Gonim and on the Karaitic on the anti-Karaitic lines that appear in the Rambam. So he says that line is obviously to disagree with the Karaim who lived in Egypt during the last time of the Rambam. He writes Mutal Mishchad Esamu Beres Uba Yerachima. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Rambam passes all the time Uba Yerachima. Just saying over here, when he get to this, it's Uba Yerachima. So it's not considered a violation of Osav Yezbeno.
You see that the Uba is Kogo in an Aragol, but that means it's not in Zicha, but it means it's Kabbalah for a Jewish person.
Right, that's a major machlokes. That's a big deal. That's the major machlokes, right? The Gemara says that if the mother's life is bisakona, and the baby didn't come out, if the mother's life is bisakona because of her pregnancy, so the Gemara says you're permitted to kill the uber as long as he didn't have a lady yet. But if Yotzer Rosho, then you're not permitted to kill the blood, because Yotzer Rosho is called Yolud, whatever Yotzer Rosho means in Machlokes Achreidim. So Yotzer Rosho is a Yolud. So Gemara says, and the Mishnah says in Aholos, Vein Doicha Nefesh Mitznei Nefesh. Right. So that's a Shaila. Why is Lo Yotzer Rosho? Why are you permitted to kill the Yuba? So Rashi and Sanhedrin, and Afayim Beis on the Beis, and the Gemara quotes that Mishnah from Aholos. Rashi seems to learn Pasha Pshat. Because it's not an Isser Ritzicha. If it's not Yolud, it's not an Isser Ritzicha. It's a different Isser. And Pikach Nefesh is not the only Isserim in the world, except for Avod Zarah Gelera Shvich HaZdamim. So this is not Shvich HaZdamim. To kill an Uber is not Shvich HaZdamim. So let's say it's not that it's a Sakana to the mother's life, but it's very unhealthy for the mother to give birth to this baby. It'll be a deformed baby, and she'll have Tzaris. So she'll have pain for the rest of her life if she's going to give birth to this baby. So if you assume like Rashi that there's no Issa Ritzicha at all, it's an Issa Chavola. So Chavola is mutter whenever people do surgery, even if your life is not Bisakana, people do surgery. For Tikkun Aguf, we even permit cosmetic surgery. We hold that that's not an Issa. Most of the Poskim assume that cosmetic surgery is permissible also. Whatever is the Tikkun Aguf. So let's say the woman is pregnant and she knows in advance that the baby is going to be born a deformed baby. So according to these poskim, it will be permissible, and they want to abort the baby in order to save the mother and the father, Agmas Nefesh, for the next 50 years. So that would be, we would say, it's permissible to do the abortion over here. It's just Nisa Chavola on the mother's body. So Chavola is Mutter, it's Tzarech Tikkun Aguf to save her aggravation. And others say no, that the Rambam writes on that Gemara that the only reason why you're permitted to kill the Uber is because the mother's life is bisakana, and the Uber is considered like a Reidif. That's why you're allowed to kill the Uber. So Reidif is only if it's Reidif to cause sakonas nefoshes to the mother's life. But if it's anything less than sakonas nefoshes, according to the Rambam, there wouldn't be any head. As a chapela, if the Uber is a Reidif, even if Yotzer Rosho, she'd also be allowed to kill him. So the Gemara asks that question. So the Gemara gives an answer that sounds like he's not a Reidif at all. So the Rambam method seems to hold, no, there are two dinim of Reidif. There's one din of Reidif. In order for a Yolud to be Reidif, you have to have a real Redifa, that the person should know what he's doing. And if he's a non-Yolud, then there's a different standard for Redifa. So even though the Achrenim say that the Rambam is very difficult, where does it say that in the Gemara? But still, that's apparently how the Rambam understood the Gemara. So that's the big machlokes halacha ha'maisa b'zman hazeh. Is it permissible to perform an abortion on a woman if we know that the baby is going to be born in a very sick fashion, is going to cause agmas nefesh for the woman? Is it permissible to perform an abortion because the parents decided they have already one child, and that's more than enough? That's more than enough, or they have already three children. They don't want more than three children. That I'll be pashtus, that's like cutting off a finger. Let's say if a person has six fingers, he has two noses, and he wants to cut off a finger to look normal. He wants to cut off the nose in order to look normal. So that's we assume that that's cosmetic surgery, that that's mutter. You want to look normal. But over here, what's so abnormal about having four babies, about having five babies? What's so sickening about that? Even if you're not jumping from joy, but there's nothing abnormal about that. So you just want to lead an easier life. So let's say a guy finds out that he can make more money if he would have three fingers. He can be in a circus. He'll show everybody, here's the man who only has three fingers. And he'll make millions of dollars. Is he allowed to cut off fingers in order to make millions of dollars to be in the circus? You're not allowed to. Not allowed to do that. You're allowed to do surgery, not only for pikuach nefesh, to improve your health and to improve your good looks. You don't want to have six fingers. You don't want to look awkward. But you're not permitted to cut off parts of the body and sell them and make money. Maybe you're allowed to cut off parts of your body to save someone else's life. That's a different thing, but not to save someone's life, just for making money. That you're not allowed to do. Someone's missing a finger and they're multimillionaires and they're willing to give me $50 million, $100 million, they'll use my finger. See, I'm not going to cut off your finger. That's like eating trephis. Someone's going to give me $1 million, $100 million to eat trephis. See, you're not allowed to. Not allowed to do that. So that's the big machlokes in the recent post. What's the nature of the issur of abortion? There's a tshuva in the Torah Chesed. He's the big makel. Everybody quotes the Torah Chesed. He's the big makel. He thinks that even the Rambam, who's the machmer over here, he says that the abortion is always ritzicha, and it's just that there's no einish misa on it. And the only heter that you have to kill a fetus is to save the mother's life, midin roides. But if it's anything less than that, then you're not allowed to perform an abortion. The Rambam is the big machmer over here. So he wants to say that even the Rambam is only speaking about a case of the Isha HaMakasha Lele. The woman is already in labor. But if she's way before labor, she's a month before labor. It's not even Kolo Lo Chadosho. Or maybe it is Kolo Chadosho, but she's before labor. He's not sure at what point. He says he thinks the Rambam would agree with Rashi, with the Pashup Shat in the Gemara, that there's no Isra Mitzicha at all. So that's why the Torah Chesed thinks that even the Shittas HaRambam there's room to make it. That's the deep machlokes. Whether abortions are only to be allowed in very restricted cases, or it can be a little more lenient. But this, everybody agrees, not allowed to perform an abortion stamna because the people don't want to have any more babies. That's not allowed. So getting back over here, that's the Shiloh. And Uber, there is an idea that some of the Rishonim say that an Uber is not yet considered a human chiyus. So it's considered like a, not an animal chiyus, it's considered like a vegetative chiyus. That's what there would be a malach of kotzer on an Uber that wasn't born.
Well, we had a discussion this year about Cohen not going to Cohen's wife not going to a cemetery. So the baby's not considered alive,
what's
the problem
with
the tumor that
you
go to the
Uber? Right, that's what the Shev Shmaitzer discusses. If it's not a person yet, so how can you say that he's a Kohen? So what's the whole issue? What's the whole problem? Ishus Kohen Uberis, is she allowed to go to the cemetery? Even if it is a boy, even if it is going to be a Bar Kayoma, what's the issue? If he's not considered a human being yet, so why should there be an Issur? That's part of the story. That's part of the discussion by the Ishus Kohen Uberis. Right. Some other Rishonim said the Rashba has this discussion that the Gemara never meant in the first place to say that it's a malach of kotzer on behemoth. The Gemara just meant to give a mashal that just like if you have the Gemara calls Kishusa growing on his midahigi, growing on Thor. So what is the Kishusa? The Kishusa are the what do you call it in English? Like Kmeim or Patrios. Mushrooms. So these mushrooms that are growing under his midahigi are sort of parasites. They don't have their own independent life. They're living off of another vegetation. So the Gemara says, Chai, Mishamayke Dovah, Migiduloi, that's, even though it's not an independent chiyus, it's living on off of another tzemach. So nonetheless, there is a din of kotzer. So that's what the Gemara meant to say as a mashal over here. Even though the Uber doesn't have its own independent chiyus, the Uber is living off of the mother, it's a parasite living off of the mother until it's born. After it's born, that has its own independent chiyus. There would still be the Isser of Netilus Neshama by an Uber. Not to say that there will be an Isser of Erkadov and Migdula would be Koitzer. No, the Marshal was just like there's Koitzer on mushrooms, even though they don't have independent Chiyasota, there would be Netilus Neshama Shochei on an Uber, even though it doesn't yet have its own independent Chiyas. Then we discussed a little bit on Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, the theme of the majority of the Perek, Rav of the Perek, deals with the prohibition of Refuah B'Shabbos. The Chachamim made it there, the Tanoim made it there, the Rabbanon, if a person is a Bari with a Mechesh B'Alma, we're not permitted to apply any medication because of the Gzeir Hashem Yishachek Samamon. The Nigmar has, even in cases where there's nothing to grind up, let's say to give a hot water bottle to one who has a bellyache, so there's nothing to grind up. You can't grind up the water. You can't grind up the plastic bottle, whatever it's made from. There's nothing to grind. Nonetheless, it's a loitzug rabbanon, and the gzeira applies even in those cases. So in the Shulchan Aruch, we are makel that the gzeiras refuah doesn't apply whenever the person is a choylo she'en bo sakana. Chodesh eish b'sakana, of course, not only is there no gzeira de rabbanon, then we're even permitted to violate Isurim Deraisa. But Achor Yedushayim Gostakon also we say that the Gzera doesn't apply. And then the Magen Avraham and the Gemara seem to add on more coolest that not only this Gzera, there are those Rishonim who disagree that the Gzera, the Rabbanon the Refu applies unless the person is Chayla Mesukan. Anything less than Chayla Mesukan, there is a Gzera Shufu. But we don't accept that opinion. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted view in the Shulchan Aruch itself, the accepted opinion is that by Achor Yedushayim Gostakon, the Gzeira doesn't apply, and we assume that all Gzeiras don't apply. Gzeira of Mashmiya Kol, the Gemara has, if you have a Chodesh Shem B'Sakana, and if he'll sleep, it'll improve his health condition, but he has difficulty sleeping, so the Gemara says in the end of Erev, in the last parak, he's permitted to play music in order to put him to sleep. If you would get a Nochri to play music, that would probably be a Shuz de Shuz, but Malcolm Kola, that would be more of a hetter. Let's say you can't get enough and you have to play the music yourself to put him to sleep. So the Gemara says it's also permissible because playing music is only a gzeira de rabbanon. It's not even a malachim de rabbanon. So gzeira is de rabbanon amutam, just like applying the medication is mutam. Then it says in the Shulchan Aruch also, Rabbi Kivege quotes this from the Beis Yosef, if you have a chol l'shem l'sakana and the doctor say what he needs is a hot bath or a hot shower, so you get a nochri to turn on the hot water, and then you get the chayla to take the hot bath and the hot shower. So the shayla is amir l'nochri is muta for the chayla shem b'sakana, that's the gemar kuf chav test. But then how does the chayla take the shower or the bath? That's the gzeres habalonim. That's the gemar in the third perik in perikira, that you're not permitted to bathe rechitzas kalaguf b'chamen. It's a gzera midirabon. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes the achrayim will give the answer that since it's only a gzera midirabonon, the fellow is a chayla shem b'sakana, so we allow all exeris. We're permitted to violate all exeris, the Rabbanim. Tiltal Muktzah, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Yisra the Heta Horach, that Tiltal Muktzah is Mutah B'Makam Chol L'Shem Sakon. We'll make a lot on anything that's only exeris. But if it's a real Malachim of the Rabbanon, then the Pashtus is, you're only Mekel if you have a Sakon of Sefer. Anything less than that, we wouldn't be Mekel.
What about non-kosher food that's also in the Rabbanon?
I think we don't allow it. The Gemara says if it's anisa deraisa and you eat it shaloi kederach achilosoi, then we're makel for chol l'shem v'sapan. But so the Ran on Psochem on that Gemara quotes the machlokes Rishonim that some said from this Gemara you see that all the rabbanim are mutter for chol l'shem v'sapana. So to drink stam yeinam would be mutter because stam yeinam is only nisa de rabbanim. And then he says that there are those who disagree, and that's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch that anisa deraisa shaloka derech achilasa is a lower level isa than anisa de rabbanim kederech achilasa. That's like we have on Shabbos, we have a malachim midirabbanon, then we have a gzeira midirabbanon. So if you eat macholas asuris midirabbanon, that's like a malachim midirabbanon. So that you're not makel for a choy lo she'im v'sakana. But if you're eating something shaloka derech achilasa, that's like a gzeira midirabbanon. And he said, deraisa, eating in shaloka derech achilasa, that's like a gzeira midirabbanon. So that we are makel on for a choy lo she'im v'sakana. That's the accepted opinion. The Mishnah implies that it's only forbidden if the refuah is taken in a fashion that it's nikar. Let's say a person has a cold and he needs to have a drink of schnapps, and the only schnapps is the refuah. Yeah, but even if this person only takes schnapps when he has a cold and he never takes it when he's healthy, but there are other people who drink schnapps all the time. So that's schnapps is considered a Michael Breen. And you say a bracha on schnapps when you drink it. Question, what bracha? but you certainly say some kind of a bracha or another. So therefore that would be permissible to take. Let's say orange juice. A person cannot drink orange juice because his resistance is very low. And he has a cold now, so he needs more vitamin C, whatever. So you're going to say that's an issur refuah? No. Orange juice is a Michael Breeman. Even if he never drinks orange juice, but there are other people, orange juice is considered a Michael Breeman by everybody. So that's not a problem. Whatever is a Michael Breeman is muta because it's not nikar. Refuah is only also if it's refuah hanikaris. So here the Tanoim have a machloikas. What about smearing on oil on the body? No, to smear on oil on the body, there's some people who always smear oil on the body. But even if this person never smears unless he's sick. So that's not called refuah hanikaris. Sochu es Hashemen. Sochu es Hashemen is mutter, even though he never shmears. But that's like a Michael Green. Shaz, what about Shemen Verin? What if it's a very, very expensive Shemen that only very wealthy people can afford, and he happens not to be a wealthy person? So that's the Machloikis Satanon. So the Mishnah uses the expression Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachimen. Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachimen, according to Reb Shimon, means that since every Jew deserves to be so wealthy, B'nei Yisrael deserves to be wealthy, and he deserves, therefore, to be able to shmir shemen varied all week long, all the time, even when he's healthy. So even under Maisa, he's not wealthy, and he can't afford it. And under his circumstances, it really is a refuah hanikaris. But that's called refuah shein hanikaris because of what the situation should have been. And we don't really accept Reb Shimon's opinion. We don't pass the Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim.
There were refuahs
I don't know. That's what we see from the Mishnah, it's like that. If you're going to ask the refuah shein hanikaris, it's going to come out that you can't, a lot of food you won't be able to eat. Let's say a person can never afford to eat meat, and then when he's sick, he has to eat meat in order to regain his health. You're going to say he's not allowed to eat flesh. You can't say like that. You can't drink orange juice. How can you say that? So whatever, it's not nika, because a lot of the things that are the refuah are just plain Michael Green. So they didn't want to go so far. Whatever's a Michael Breen, they never made it there. Shaila is whether the Gzeria makes sense to Zman Hazeh. The whole reason for the Gzeria Shem Yishachik Samamonim, in Zman Hazeh, you don't grind anything up. Even when you go to the drugstore, most of the time they don't grind anything up either. It's already all ground up in the factory. They just, they do a malacha. It takes them half an hour. They have to type your name and the doctor's name. They have to check with the insurance. But it takes half an hour. You can drop dead waiting for the medication. But they're not grinding anything up there. There is no. So maybe so some rabbanim say, yeah, but there's still a gzera shem yichtov. They do other malachas shem yichtov. That's a shalom. So one of the rabbanim, Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, who is known for his disagreement with the Chazon Ish regarding the shiurim. How much is a tefach and how much is a revias and a kezais and so on. So he has a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that's called the Ktos HaShulchan. So he gives a presentation. He thinks that the Radik Dalam also, they think that maybe the whole Zeris refuah shouldn't apply to Zman Hazeh. All things should be lifted. Why? We have a rule, Davish Bimin Yitzach Min Yenachal Atiram. You have to have another Bezmin to repeal an old Zeris, even if the reason for the Zeris no longer applies. Manish Tana, this Zeris from all the other Zeris. Why should we assume that that this Gzera falls apart automatically? So he doesn't really explain it well. So we made a suggestion based on the Tshuvas HaRosh, based on a whole series of Marmakonis, that it could be whenever the Gzera initially was Bakira's Dovim and HaTorah, whenever the Gzera was really in violation of one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. On Shabbos, people are supposed to have Kibbutz V'yoni. He's supposed to enjoy Shabbos. So if a person doesn't feel well, and he's under the weather, and you're going to tell him he's not allowed to take medications, so he's going to be sick an extra day. He's going to be sick an extra day. Let's say that's what some Rabbi Yomin Zilber has in his original Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. He writes a Chiddush, but Lucharitz a Devil Poshet. He says, what if a person has a condition, a sickness, and the only way to treat it is by taking medication 7 days in a row? And if he doesn't take the medication on Shabbos, he'll never get better. Instead of taking a week and a half to get better, it'll take him a year and a half. It'll take him significantly longer. So he writes a Davar Pashut without any rise, but the common sense dictates that that's not what the Chachamim prohibited. The Chachamim prohibited Don't take the medication on Shabbos. You'll get better a day later. Get better 3 days later. Okay. But if you tell a guy, don't take the medication and suffer for an extra year. So, Asvara no sense that the Chachamim never wanted that. But even to tell a guy, let's say he has a condition, and you tell him he's not allowed to take medication on Shabbos, he has to wait till after Shabbos. That's also a problem. It's not violation of the mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos. So the answer is, look, the Chachamim felt compelled to make the Gzeir Hashem Yishachik Samam on him, and have a right to make a Gzeir about Kiras Dovim and Atar B'Shevi Al-Tasa. Just like they made the Gzeir that you're not allowed to blow Shoy from Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, or you're not permitted to put on Tzitzis and the Beged Shal Pishton, because if you put in Tzitzis, you put in Tchelis, and Tchelis may be possible Tchelis, it may be Klo Ilon, and then you'll be in violation of Shatnes, because the strings that you'll be dying with the Tchelis will be Tzemer, and the Beged is Pishton, so you'll have Shatnes. Shalom b'makam Tzorah. Shalom b'makam Mitzvah. So there was a Machlokes B'Shamei B'Silo, and that's one of the six cases that says his quotes a Siddur Rav Amagoyen, that we pass on like the B'Shamei over and above the Yud Ches Dover. There were 8 things there, was in the first parak in Shabbos. But the Gemara lists off the 18 cases that we pass on like B'Shamei. And then there are 6 additional cases. So one of the 6 additional cases is Sadin B'Tzitzis, that the B'Shamei made Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and we follow B'Shamei, that we prohibit people from putting in tzitzis in the Beged Shel Pishton. So that's B'Shevi Al Tasa. The Gemara says in Yevamos on Daf Tzadik that Yeshkach B'Yar Chachamim Lakadov Menatar B'Shevi Al Tasa. They prohibit the Gersh and his Gar Be'er Pesach from bringing the Korban Pesach that year. They'll bring next year, I'll bring Korban Pesach, I'll bring Pesach Shein. We prohibit him from bringing Pesach Rishon that year. So here also, the Gzeiris Refuah is really a Gzeirah Bakiras Dov Menatar B'Shevi Al Tasa. The Chachamim are prohibiting the person from enjoying himself on Shabbos. They tell him, you have to suffer today. You take the medication on Matzoi Shabbos. So perhaps there's room to argue the point and say that whenever you have a Gzeir Derabbanon, that's Bakira Dov Men HaTorah, so then perhaps it doesn't make sense to require Bez Nachal LaHatira. Why should that be the case? That's what the Rosh explained. The Rosh writes in the Tshuva that when he moved to Spain after the Rashba died, after the Maharam Rithmerg died, so the Rosh was afraid that he's going to be next, they're going to imprison him and hold up the Jewish community for ransom. So he had to run away from Germany, so he decided to run to Spain. So when he went to Spain, he went to Barcelona because the Rashba had just died at that time. While he was alive, they used to correspond with each other. So after the Rashba died, so the Rosh came to Spain, and he was the Yekesh rabbi. The Rosh was appointed the rabbi in the Sephardic community. He didn't speak a word of Spanish, and he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know the Chalav was going on. They had everything with Sephardic and Hagen, Sephardic Psalm. So everything was a shock to him. Like when the Sechemet became the rabbi in Russia, he didn't know what was going on. So one of the issues was, he saw everybody was wearing tzitzis and the Beged Shel Pishton. So he has Hayitochen. It's against the din. He passed him like the Beshamet. This is one of the 6 cases where the din is like Beshamet. So the Balabatim in the street knew the answer. So they explained, no rabbi, the whole reason for the Gzeirah Beis Shammai was that they may put in imitation trelis that will be possible. Put in Klo Ilon, and the chutim of the trelis have to be tzemer. You're going to put in chutim of tzemer, the Beged Shel Pishton, it'll be shatnes, and it'll be shalom b'makom mitzvah if they'll sell you possible trelis, imitation trelis. But Bizman is there that in the days of the Rosh, nobody has any trelis anyway. So no person in his right mind is ever going to make such a mistake. So the reason for the Gzeira doesn't apply, so the whole Gzeira falls apart. So then the Rosh says, yeah, but let it be a Dovish of a Minyan, Tzav Minyan Achalatir. So he says, no. And he came to the realization that the Balabatim are right, that Dovish of a Minyan doesn't apply. And he adds on an extra line, and it's a little unclear what he's driving at. So that's what the Mishkan is yanking. As a truth, he explains, that's what he's talking about. Because this Gzeira Beis Shammai was really Bakira's Dovim and Atar. From day number one, Beis Shammai are telling us to violate one of the dinim in the Torah, namely, don't put on tzitzis in a Beged Shel Pishton. Whenever you have a gzeir, Bakira's Dovim and Atar, so the Chachamim are compelled, that's the Mishkan is Yankiv, gives this whole theory. The Chachamim were compelled to incorporate the Tamar gzeir into the Nusach gzeir. Normally, you don't mefarsin the Tamar gzeir. When you make a gzeir, the Rabbanon, the Gemara says in Masechus Avodah Zarah, that for the first 12 months you don't tell anybody the reason for the Gzeir. If you'll say the reason for the Gzeir, so every Tom, Dick and Harry will decide, I understand. I know what the din is, I know that this is us and this is Mutter, I don't have to observe this Gzeir. So the whole Gzeir will fall apart, no one's going to observe it. So the Gemara says, the first 12 months you don't tell anybody the reason for the Gzeir, and you wait till everybody gets used to observing it. So the Mishkanas Yaakov interprets in the Rosh that Bamed Vamamurim, when they say that you make a gzera and you don't, you always have to have a good reason to make a gzera, otherwise it's a violation of Baltaisif on the part of the Chachamim who are making the gzera. So clearly they have to have a Tzorach Godel. But the Tamak Zera doesn't have to be incorporated into the Nusach Zera. So the Rosh explains, Bamed Vamamurim, that's if it's a gzera to ask us something. But if it's a gzera that's Bakira's Dogman Atar, the Chachamim tell you, we don't allow you to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholi is the Shabbat. Then you don't allow. I'm obligated. The Torah requires of me to blow shofar. We don't permit you to wear tzitzis in a bag of Shapishta. We don't allow you to take medication on Shabbos and to enjoy Shabbos. What do you mean you don't allow? I'm required to take the medication on Shabbos and to enjoy earning Shabbos. I'm not supposed to suffer on Shabbos. So in this case, when the Gzera de Rabbanon is Bakira's Dov Menatar, so they had to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. Oh, once you incorporated the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera, so then, if you live in a generation where the Tam HaGzera doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera falls apart by itself. You just have to have Rabbanim who are Paskin, so we now live in a generation where the Tam HaGzera doesn't apply, so therefore the whole Gzera doesn't apply. So perhaps that's an argument to be presented in this area, why there were those. So Leitcher was very upset that those who were Mekel on the Rafua Bizman Hazeh. So he said that some of them based it on the Tosis and Beitz on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where the Tosis talks about flapping and dancing. The Gemara says it's all awesome at the Rabbanik Zeresh and Misakim Kleshir. Maybe a person will get carried away and they'll be playing music and they'll fix the musical instrument if it's broken. The Tosis says that we don't observe some of these various the Rabbanim, because since the reason doesn't apply, so the Gzera doesn't apply. As Olechi said, we're not sure what Tosis meant. He said, Allah Shana Rishonim on him, it's dark. We don't know what Tosis is talking about either. The Taz raises the question. How did Tosis say that his man is Rasmutta? What happens to Dovish and the Minyan Sofman Yerachal Atira? Even if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply. So the Taz says, that's why Tosis explained it very well, in order to get around this issue. Tosis didn't explain anything. The Taz says, no, Tosis explained it very well. So we don't understand the Taz, we don't understand Tosis. Well, what did they explain already? That Dovish and Meminya doesn't apply. So whatever the story is with the clapping and the dancing, we're not so sure about that. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset that those who were tampering with the Gzeirah of Refuah. But there are a few G'daylim who are mitzadid lahokala on the Refuah bizman hazeh. So maybe that's an explanation why.
Does the Rav not accept the whole true Mishkanas Yamkis meaning by all Gzeira?
I don't know. I never heard a discussion from Rav Soloveitchik on this topic. I'm not familiar. Then we had a fascinating Gemara. Kol chavit filas tevlin kedarkan bein b'tisha b'av bein yom kippurim. What's the issue? On Yom HaKippurim and on Tisha B'av, one of the Hamish Inuyim is Rechitza. And we assume that by definition, Rechitza is only forbidden if it's Rechitza Shaltainu. And if the Rechitza is Mitzuref, Lodover Acher, what do you mean Rechitza Shaltainu? We have to judge on every single Rechitza whether you get pleasure or not. So how does the Gemara say in the end of Yuma, Afilo Lahoshet Tet Bektano, Lekos Mali Maim is Asar on Yom Kippur? What Hanoah does the person get that's called Rechitza Shaltainu? So the answer is that all rechitzas automatically labeled as rechitza shaltani, even if you don't get any pleasure from sticking your pinky into the cup of water. All rechitzas labeled automatically as rechitza shaltani, unless it's mitzuref l'dover acher. So let's say the person is a choyla, and the pus is oozing out of his wound, and it's all over the body, and he's dirty. Or he wakes up in the morning, and his eyes are all full of crust, whatever, there's pus coming out from his eyes or something. So he's permitted, or he has to wash his hands because he has the rachru on his hands. So in order to clean off dirt, or if you're bathing the refuah or something, if the rechitza is mitzurah for davar acher, so that takes off the status of rechitza shaltan. So that's the basis of this braisa, that despite the fact that there is an Easter of rechitza on Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, kol chab tfilas tavim kedarkan, beim Tisha B'av beim Yom Kippur. And what's taka the reason why it's not labeled as rechitza shaltan? What is it mitzurah for davar acher? What davar acher is mitzurah to you? So Tosis later has two girsas. They have a preferred girsa and the one that they're not so happy about. Hochi Garcino, the top line in the Tosis Kuf Chof Aleph Min Aleph. It says on the side that that's what this braisa is quoted. So on the top line of Kuf Chof Aleph, the Tosis has two girsas. Whether the reason why the Tchavit Tfilah Tavon Ki Gedarkan is because Tfilah Bizmana Mitzvah, or no, Tfilah Bizmana Mitzvah is a big machlokes in the Gemara. machlokes hatanoim, and a machlokes hagoinim. And in the days of the Goinim, the majority of the Goinim were of the opinion that Tfilah b'zman mitzvah. By the time it came the days of the Rishonim, if you look in the Bali HaNefesh, with the Hasogas of the Balamor and the Bali HaNefesh, and the Tosis in the first Perek in Yuma also talks about it. In the days of the Rishonim is already, the Psak shifted. The majority of the Rishonim held that Tfilah b'zman alav mitzvah. So according to one girsa of the Tosfos on Kuf Chaf Aleph and Af, one girsa that they had in the Gemara, the reason why Chayv Tfilas are permitted to be Tevel Kedarka Mitishva with Yom Kippurim, because since you do it with Shei Mitzvah, Tfilah is Mana Mitzvah, so that takes off the status of Rechitza Shaltayna. We have such a thing, Bizman Azeh, we have, let's say, Manim go to Duchan on Yom Kippur. Even though they already wash their hands in the morning to remove the Ruach Ra. To remove the Ruach Ra, that's like Hoyo Yoda Melochlochas. So you want to remove the Ruach Ra. But when he's about to Duchen, he doesn't have any Ruach Ra. They're not Melochlochas. And the answer is no, but there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to wash hands. Not a mitzvah in our Torah. It doesn't say, Chumash, the Kohanim have to wash their hands before they Duchen. So it's a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. Even if it's only a mitzvah mitam minig, we also say, interesting, we also say that that's sufficient to remove the status of Rechitza Shel Tainim. That's what it says in the Achroinim. The Mati Ephraim quotes this based on the Zohar, that in many communities the minig is that the Levi washes his hands, his own hands, before he pours the water on the Kohen's hands. So that's not mentioned in the Gemara. That's only mentioned in the Zohar. So the Mati Ephraim quotes that even though that's only a minhag, that minhag is also sufficient to remove the status of Rechitza Shel Tainim. That's why there are some Hasidim who have the practice of going to mikveh every day before they daven. So the Shaila, what about going to mikveh on Yom Kippur? Also, Rechitza on Yom Kippur is one of the Chamisha Inuim. According to some of the Rishonim, it constitutes an Issa Deraisa. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Chamisha Inuim are only Midirabbanan, the only two that are Deraisa are Chilu Shtiyah. Chilu Shtiyah is one. In the list of the Chamisha Inuim, Chilu Shtiyah is one. So he quotes the Gemara, says in Nidorim, that one who violates Achidash Tiyah is Chayv Koris, one who violates the other Inuim is not Chayv Koris, so it's a right that only the prohibition of Achidash Tiyah is the Raisa, the other four Inuim are only Midir Rabbana. And the Rambam and other Rishonim disagree. This is a big machlokes, the Ran and the Taisi Sishonim on the first daf and the list, the Perik and Masechas Yuma, have the different opinions. There is a group of Rishonim who insist that all the Chamisha Inuim constitute an Issa Deraisa. And nonetheless, the Mata Ephraim is prepared to be makel that whenever there's a minig for the Levian to wash their hands before they wash the Kohen's hands, so a Dvar Mitzvah based on a minig is also enough to remove the status of a Chitza Shaltayim. So that's why by some Hasidim they have a practice that they go to mikveh every day because of the Takanas Ezra. But the Balkari is not allowed to daven, not allowed to learn. The Gemara says that the Takanas Ezra was repealed with respect to learning. Never says explicitly one way or the other whether the Takanas Ezra was repealed with respect to davening. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Rambam says in the Mishneh Torah, he says that the Ribbono Shel Olam in heaven above knows that I always go to mikveh before I daven, but he says strictly speaking you don't have to. It's only Amidas Chassidus. He says when they repealed the Takanas Ezra with respect to learning Torah, Balkari permitted to learn, so the whole Takanas Ezra fell apart, so he permitted to daven as well. So why did he volunteer? What's the Amidas Chassidus mean? He volunteered to be choshish for the other opinions. No. The Rambam wasn't volunteering to be choshish for the other opinion. That's a later idea. The Brewery and others are choshish for this opinion, that opinion. The Rambam wasn't choshish for the other opinion. So that's where the Keset Mishnah has a discussion. Why did the Rambam observe, why did the Rambam think that it constitutes a Midas Chassidus? So he says, because the Takanas Ezra B'Shaito made sense. The only reason why it's repealed in later generations, Tosfos writes in Baba Kama, in the end of Perek Merubah, when the Gemara lists off the 10 Takanas Ezra, so Tosfos writes, why did the later Tanoim repeal the Takanas Ezra? Because he saw that it's Exeret, Shein Rebat Tzipi Cholam Lama, but it's very difficult to observe it. So the Keset Mishnah quotes Rishonim, I think every 12 says, whenever you have a Gzeira de Rabbanon, which is repealed because it falls apart, so to speak, because it's Ein Rav Atzibi Yechelem Lamed Boy, but in principle it is a good Gzeira that does make sense, that it would still constitute Amidas Chassidus to observe that Gzeira, because of course the Tanaim originally did make such a Gzeira. So even though later it falls apart because they nicholam lamed, but whoever is able to live up to it should be mach. That's why the case Mishnah suggests pshat and the Rambam. Quote, I think it reads Tvohu, who says like that. So the Rambam is of the opinion that the Takanas Ezra was all repealed. And the Ravid quoted by the Rosh, we don't have this Ravid on the side of the Rambam, but the Ravid quoted by the Rosh in Brochas, the end of the second parak, says not true, that the Takana says it was only repealed with respect to learning, with respect to davening, it was never repealed. So it remains Medina. The one who's a Balkari is not permitted to daven. So the Chassidim Achosh is for the Shita Sarag. The Igredin, we really don't pass on like that. The Shulchan Aruch, we pass on like the Rambam. That the whole Takana says it was repealed. So they have a minig, the Hasidim have a midas Hasidim, to be machmer, to be choshish for the shittas arav. So the shayla is, and if a person is a balkari, bizman hazeh, and he wants to be toifel in the mikvah and yom kippur, you're dealing with a possible isa deraisa. A rechitza, one of the hamishay noy, according to some rishayim, many rishayim, it's an isa deraisa. And because they want to do a midas Hasidim, so it's mutar, so some of the chassidish tshuvas farm say, yeah, just like the levim washing their hands before they wash the Kohanim's hands, that's only a mitzvah b'toras minig. It's not a real din. Doesn't even appear in the Gemara as a din derabban. It's only a minig, and that's enough to remove the yisur of echitz and shaltaina. So maybe this also, the fact that they go to mikveh every day before they die, maybe this is also sufficient to remove the yisur of echitz and shaltaina. Nunu. Some of the Rishonim distinguished, they say, Rechitza as a, one of the Inuyim Deraisa is only if he's bathing Rov Aguf. But if it's less than Rov Aguf, the worst it could be for sure is only the Rabbah, right? So it's not the same, it's not a Tushna. Washing the hands is for sure, the holiday it's only the Rabbah. As opposed to going to Mikveh, where there would be a Machlek Yisrushan. But washing hands, that everyone would agree that that's maximum in Issa the Rabbah. So it's not exactly the same, right? Not exactly the same. So again, Taisus on Kuf Chof Al Manal has two gears in the Gemara. What removes the status of Rechitza Shaltainig from the Kol HaChai B'Tfilas Tovin Kedarka Matishba V'Yam Kippur? So the gears that they were not happy with, that they proved conclusively it's not correct. The one gears that had it, that the thing that removes the status of Rechitza Shaltainig is the fact that you hold a Tfilah B'Zmana Mitzvah. No, in the days of the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim passed on a Tfilah B'Zmana La Mitzvah. So then we should reject this price, it shouldn't be accepted. Lalocha. So Tyson thinks that it's not correct. That even if your tefillah is mad alam mitzvah, but sof the tefillah is mitahir, the person. So the fact that the tefillah serves to remove the tumah, that itself cancels the status of a chitza shaltang. Chitza shaltang is only if you're not doing it, it's not mitzurif to anything else. But since it's a tefillah hamitahiris, even though you're not mechuyif, tefillah is mad alam mitzvah, you're not mechuyif, there's no mitzvah to do it, not obligated to do it. But still, since it's mitaheres, so that itself cancels the status of rechitza shaltan. So this just says that bizman hazeh, we don't follow this brice. Why not? So on Tisha B'av, they have one reason. Why? Because the Gemara in Tainis quotes a machlokes satanoi. One of the tanoim, he must have been around at the time of the Churban Abayi. Sham Chaninis Gana Koenis. He must have been there at the time of Churban Abayi. So he says, Kidai hu beis elokeinu la'abed olo tefillah achas bashona. Tisha B'av is such a tragic day, it's not proper for the people to go to mikveh, even though strictly speaking should have been mutter, it's not called chitzur shaltan. He thinks that we should be machmas, even though normally, under normal conditions, we would have outvoted the chaninas gan hakoinim. So Tisha quotes Yerushalmi, says, Hilchus HaKavaseh. Yerushalmi has adopted the position of Rav chaninas gan hakoinim that on Tisha B'av you're not allowed to. Okay, well, how come we don't even allow it on Yom Kippur? So Tesis in Beitza on the first parak adds on. So they say that this heter, this man hatanoim, that kol chavit filas tovin kedarka bein b'tisha b'av bein yom kippur, that was only this man hagemore, that going to mikveh was relevant for more things than an isha labayla. It was relevant. The person wants to be tohar. So any food they touch, any chair they touch, any clothing they touch, will not become tummy. But Bizman is everybody's tummy, and everything is tummy. All the food is tummy anyway, all the chairs, all the tables, all the clothing, everything is tummy anyway. So the only people who go to mikveh, obviously, Tesis were not Hasidim. They didn't go to mikveh before they died, before the days of the Baal Shem Tov. So Tesis says the only people who are observing tzvila in the mikveh are the married women, and it's relevant lahatirisha labailo. So then they say, nu antishabav and yam kippur, tashmish amita is one of the hamisha inuim, so it's not permissible it would not be permissible to go to the mikveh if a woman went to mikveh before. So you don't tell her she becomes a nida on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. She went to mikveh before, but to allow a woman to go to mikveh on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, knowing that it's not going to give her a heter lios and bailos, so that's misleading. So we don't allow women to go to mikveh today on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur because she's asur al bayis. That's why there was such a practice in Europe. The Sidri Tara and Hilchas Nida quotes this, that on the night of December 25th, the night before Lil, December 25th, the Jews in many communities used to observe Avelis, like if a member of the family becomes a Meshuman. So the minig is that the members of the family, the close members of the family, observe Avelis 7 days, 14 days, different minhag. So they used to, for generations in different communities in Europe, used to treat it as if Yoshka became a Meshumet and it's all our fault. So we all have to observe Avelus. And they don't observe Avelus 7 days, 14 days, what, from December 25th to January 1st? That's not. So they would observe Avelus Leil Kratzma on the night of December 25th. So that's why in some communities they wouldn't allow anyone to learn, because an Ovel was also the Talmud Torah. And they wouldn't allow Tashmish Amita. So if a woman had to go to mikveh, we wouldn't permit her to go. The mikvahs were locked on Leil December 25th in some communities because of what Tosafot says over here. Because Bizman is the whole going to mikveh is only relevant for married women. The Hatel Abaylo and Atisha B'Av Yom Kippur, she has no heter. There's an Isim Tashmish Amita. You don't allow them to go to mikveh because it will mislead them into thinking that the Mutah B'Baylayim. So the same on Leil Kratzmach, they have such a community to lock them in. They have such a minig in many communities to lock the mikvahs. That was the shayla we mentioned. Rav Shlomo Breuer sent a shayla to the Maharam Shik when he was engaged and he was going through Hilchas Nida. What's the din if a couple is married and the husband is in the middle of Shiva? So the husband is also the Tashmish Amita and the wife has to go to mikvah. You say the wife is not permitted to go to mikveh because, what do you mean? Go to mikveh is only relevant to heter lebaila. She has not heter lebaila. Does the husband in the middle of Shiva? But you say, no, the husband in the middle of Shiva, that's a davar chitzoni. She's not in the middle of Shiva. Her husband is. And she is married. She's not single. It's based on this thesis that in Shulchan Aruch they quote the reverse, that we don't permit single girls to go to mikveh. Why is that? Because the whole relevance of going to mikveh is only Bizman Hazeh, is only lahata labaila, and if the girl is single, so she has no heter. It would be a violation of biyaznus. So we don't permit single girls to go to mikveh. That's a discussion now about going on to the harabayis. So there are the rabbanut. Most of the members of the rabbanut are opposed. They say that they don't encourage people. They discourage everyone from going on to the harabayis. And there's a small group. Keeps on getting bigger. The group keeps on getting bigger. So they go to mikveh and they say brocha ala tefillah, and they go on to parts of the harabayis where they think that it's permissible. So they say, yeah, but this is only for men. But for single girls, no, single girls are not allowed to go to mikveh. What do you mean, single girls are not allowed to go to mikveh? Bizman Gemara, single girls went to mikveh all the time in order to make sure that their clothing would be tohar. The people they touch will be tohar. The chair that they sit on, the plates that they're going to touch, everything should be tohar. Taisa says that Bizman Hazeh, the whole relevance of God. Taisa lived in Europe. They didn't have an issue of going out to the harabais. There was no harabais. So Taisa says that the whole relevance of going to mikveh is only for married women. So that's why we don't allow it on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. And based on the Taisa, we wouldn't permit it for single girls. But if a single girl wants to go with the group that's going on the harabais, If they hold this permissible, how can you say single girl is not allowed to go to mikveh? It doesn't make any sense. She has to count shiva nikiyim. If the girl is in nida, she can't just go to the mikveh 1, 2, 3. Just like a married woman can't just go to the mikveh bimuteres lebaila. You have to make all the bedikas and a whole complicated story. But it doesn't make sense to say, oh, single women, there's nothing to discuss. Why is there nothing to discuss? It's the same as it was Bizmana Gemara. If a single girl will want to go, it's the same as Bizmana Tanoi. Bizmana Bais. If a single girl wants to go to Beis HaMikdash, you don't prohibit her from going. If a single girl wants to eat Truma, so you don't allow her to go to the mikveh in order to eat Truma. She wants to eat Maizu Shein in Yerushalayim. Of course you're permitted. It's only Bizmana Zeh in the days of the Bali HaTesed where there was no Truma, there was no Maizu Shein to eat, there were no Kabbanah to eat, there was no Harabais. There's nothing to discuss. So the whole relevance of going to mikveh is only Lahat El Abayla. So if a single girl, there is no hatalabana, so we don't allow. But whenever it's relevant for other deems, so it is permissible. Anyway, the Rabbanut is opposed. They discourage people going to the Harabas. Why did the Gemara quote this on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Aleph? What was the connection over here? So the Gemara explains in Beitza, there is a Mishnah that distinguishes between Tfilas Kelim Tameim and Tfilas Odom Tameim. Kelim Tameim, to be tevel in the mikveh, to remove the tumah, that's an isa midrabbanan. There's no way in the world to be clear that. That's a malacha deraisa. It's also midrabbanan to be tevel kelim tmeim on Shabbos and Yontif to remove the tumah. What about if the kelim is not an isha of kelim tmeim? We have a din, if you buy pots and pans, if you buy spoons and forks from a nochri, and you want to use them for food purposes, so there's a mitzvah of tefilas kelim. And the Rishonim say it's not, has nothing to do with removing tumah. That's also not allowed on Shabbos and Yontif, unless a person has brand new kelim that once belonged to an ochri. So that's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, and the Magen Mishnah has a big discussion. And the Shulchan Aruch says you should try to avoid. You should try to avoid being, because of the machlekes, you should avoid being toivel clay suda on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's not exactly the same as the original din. The original din was if you have kelim that are tomei, removing the tumah. And this is different, so that's why it's a machlekes of Rishonim. What's the reason for this Gzeira de Rabbanon not allowing Tfilas Kelim Tmeim on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Whatever the reason is, how come it doesn't apply to Tfilas Adam? So one opinion in the Gemara is they prohibited Tfilas Kelim Tmeim, towels, or Tfilas clothing that's Tamei, because Gzeira Shem Yischot. So the Gzeira Shem Yischot doesn't apply on the person. Gzeira Shem Yischot makes more sense on Kelim. Aye, but you ask her even dishes, the forks and knives that are tummy, there's nothing to squeeze out there. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a loy plug rabbana. But the ik exere, not to be tevil kelim tmeim, goes on clothing. But by yodim, there's nothing to squeeze. Aye, there's hair to squeeze out. No, squeezing hair, the Gemara says, is not an isa derais. That's the Gemara kuf chav ches on a base. The Gemara says that if the yoledes needs oil, whenever you can do it you do Aydeshinoi. If she needs oil immediately and you can't do Aydeshinoi, so you carry the oil in the Rishus Haram. But if you have time to finagle a little bit, so the Gemara says you should carry it Kalacha Yad. So it'll only be an Issa Derabban. What's an example of Kalacha Yad? So the Gemara has a case, you squeeze out a bottle of oil, one girl has a lot of hair, you squeeze a lot of oil into her hair in the location where the oil is, and then she'll walk over here. She's basically carrying all the oil in her hair, but that's kalahaya. Then we'll squeeze out the oil over here. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But isn't that an Issa Deraisa, squeezing out the oil? The Gemara says, no. Ain't schita b'ser. There's no Issa Deraisa. So rather than carry a bottle of oil in your hand, that would constitute a malacha deraisa, it's preferable to do two isurim derabbanan. To squeeze out the hair is an Issa derabbanan. It's machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. Whether there's whether mutar legamri or it's an isa derabbanan, there's no isa deraisa. We assume there is an isa derabbanan. So it's preferable to violate the double derabbanan. First of all, when she's walking in the street, she's carrying the oil kalahayat. She's carrying the oil in her hair. This is more oil than the body needs. The amount of oil that's needed for the hair, that's batal agav the hair. But the extra amount, she has a whole quart full of oil there. So the extra amount is mamish carrying, but that's kalahayat. So it's preferable to violate a double derabbanan. To violate twice an Isra Rabban, to violate an Isra on carrying Kalahayad and the Isra of squeezing out the hair, rather than to violate the Isra Deraisa to carry the bottle of oil outright. So the Gemara says in Beitza that the Gemara has four different suggestions of the Amoraim. Why did they make this Gzera Derabbanan to prohibit Tfilas Kelim? So the one suggestion in the Gemara is it's really a Gzeir Hashem Yisqot, and by Yodim there is no Gzeir Hashem Yisqot. Are you have Schita B'Seir with the Rabbanah? So the answer is yes. Schita B'Seir is only with the Rabbanah. We're not going to go make another Gzeir Hashem Yisqot. Schita and Begodim, that would be an Issa Deraisa. So there you make a Gzeir Hashem Yisqot. Then the Gemara has other suggestions. What is this? Another Tana Gzeir is a Gzeir Hashem Avarena Dalanamis Bishusaram. That's Rabbah says that. The same rabbi who says that that's the reason why they prohibited blowing shofar and Rosh Hashanah Shacholiyos b'Shabbos and shaking a lulav is all gzeirah shem me'avarenu d'al adam. So for the same reason, the rabbi says they prohibited tefilas kelim On Shabbos, Gzeira Shemi Avirenu. How does that explain why they prohibited Tfilas Kelim on Yontiv? On Yontiv, you're permitted to carry things that you need. Schita on Kelim on Begadim, you're not allowed to do on Yontiv also. But to carry Kelim that you need, I need it to be brought to the mikveh. So what's wrong if I carry it? So the Gemara says it's Gzeira Yontiv to Shabbos. That's the Gemara that the Ramban quoted. He wants to explain why you're not allowed to heat up water. To wash kol aguf on Yontif on Shabbos, you're not allowed to heat up water. It's a malach amavasha. But on Yontif, what's wrong with heating up water? So he said it's the Xeris Habalanim from Shabbos carried over to Yontif. He says it really doesn't make any sense on Yontif. It should have been mutter. It's Orach HaMepesh. It's Orach HaYontif. But it's the Xeris was made on Shabbos, not to bathe. Rechit Becham and his Osir. So they carried over Xeris Yontif to Shabbos. So the Ramban got it from this Gemara. Gemara says in Beitzo, that one opinion is that Tfilas Kelim Tveim on Shabbos is also Shem Yavirenu. The Gemara says, but why is it also on Yontif? It's permissible to carry if it's in Sarat. The Gemara says it's Xer Yontif to Shabbos. We carry over all the Xeris on Shabbos to Yontif as well. Then the Gemara has other reasons. So the Gemara finally comes, the most famous reason is that it's Nirik in Mesake. So the Gemara says, Nu by Odom also, why is there no concern of Nirik in Mesake? The Gemara says no, because it's nirik imekar. When a person is sometimes perspiring, he's overheated, so he wants to cool himself off, so he'll soak in a tub full of water. He'll soak in a bath tub full of water. So since it's nirik imekar, so that's why they were never goyza. So the Gemara makes a hashvoa between the two. The Gemara says, whatever is a Michael Briyim, the Chachamim, whenever goyza or exera refuah, it's only forbidden if it's refuah hanikeres. So the same is true regarding Tfilas Kelim. We only made the Gzera de Rabbonon of Misakein only if it's Nirik in Misakein. If it's Nikar, that is L'shem Tikkun, to remove the tumor. And if it's Tfilas Adam, it's Nirik in Mekar, so then there's no Gzera of Nirik in Misakein. So the Gemara raised the question, but it says that Tmeim are permitted to be Tovel even on Tisha B'Av in Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, what Shach to say Nirik in Mekar? If he's going to be Mecca, that's Mechitza Shaltaino. So the fact that the fellow is going to the Mikvah is a dead giveaway, that is for the purpose of removing the tumor. So it's Nirik in Misakin, so let it be Osir. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be that on Yom Kippur it'll be Osir, and Shabbos it'll be Mutter, because Shabbos is Mochoban and Yom Kippur. No, Shabbos, Mochoban and Yom Kippur, in other areas, there is no such thing that's Mutter on Shabbos and Osir on Yom Kippur. But here's Zilbasa time. The whole reason why it's Mutter on Shabbos is because it's Mutter Lahakir on Shabbos. A person is permitted to soak himself in a tub of cold water. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to. So it's a dead giveaway that it's Nirik Imekar. It's Misakin on Yom Kippur. It's Misakin. You can't say Nirik Imekar on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara holds that it doesn't matter. The Gemara holds that when they made the Gzera de Rabbanon, that it's also to do Tfilah, the shame, Hasoras Atuma, it's Nirik in Misakin, and it's also, it's only, if all day long it's Nirik in Misakin, all 24 hours of Shabbos, and all the days of Shabbos, Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, if one of the days it's not Nirik in Misakin, that even on the day, or even the hour in the day that it is Nirik in Misakin, they were never going to. That's not called Nirik in Misakin. It has to be a Tikkun Hanikar. They only answer if it's a Tikkun Hanikar all times of the day and all days. So since on Shabbos it's Nirik in Mekar, so there's no Nirik in Misakin. So even on Yom Kippur, where all 24 hours of Yom Kippur, it's always going to be Nirik in Misakin. Since on Shabbos it's not Nirik in Misakin, so it's not enough of a Tikkun Hanikar. So the Gemara relates that over here, but again to the prohibition of refuah. They only asked refuah in a fashion when it's refuah hanikeres, if it's in a conspicuous fashion. So what if in the beginning of the meal it won't be nearer ki refuah? In the end of the meal it will be nearer ki refuah. The minig was they used to dip food into chometz, and if the person has a toothache, so the chometz is good for the tooth. So at the beginning of the meal, when you're holding by dipping food in the chometz, so then there's no issur refuah. Shabbos after they already took off that course, there are no more dippings, and they already took off all the chometz from the table, and that was ready after the soup, or after the gefilte fish, or after the chometz, or after something, holding at a later stage. So now we're going to bring back We're going to bring back the chometz, the bowl of vinegar. We're going to start dipping things in. So this is obviously l'shem refuah. No one else on the table is dipping anything now. So it's according to the menu, the waiters are supposed to remove. They already did remove all the chometz for dipping purposes. So the guy asks, please bring me back the chometz. So isn't that nirek kirefuah? So the Gemara has the machlokes amaroim. What's the shear of nirek kirefuah or nirek kimekar and so on? So we paskin the hakel that the only time it's called nirek misakein or refuah hanikeres, it's only osir. It's dealing with a din derabanan here. So whenever you have a din derabanan, both by the refuah story as well as by the nirek misakein by the tefilas tmeim, you have an issa derabanan that depends on being nikir, that it's done for a specific purpose. So it's only osir if it's all 24 hours of the day, Shabbos and Yom Tov, it'll be nirek. That it's an isa. But if sometimes at some point in the meal it wouldn't be noticeable, then it's not called a refuah nekeres. That's like we gave the mashal before. Let's say this person never drinks schnapps, only when he's sick. Other people drink schnapps all the time. So even though by him it's nirek kirefuah, but since by other people it's not, so that's not called the refuah nekeres.
See, the reason for the relationship between nigger and refuah is that nigger is possible to be kadisha, otherwise it's not
the voice. I don't hear. What do you say?
The relationship between nigger and refuah would be that anything nigger can be allowed because it's not nigger. Anything that would bend is not nigger. Obviously, it won't be dictation. Otherwise, it will be usher anyway. It will be dictation. That is not going to be dictation. That's why it's a good way. That's why it's called. It's good that you do
it. I don't get it. So, what's this for again? Why should it be mutter because it's not nigger, l'shem refuah? Because you say can't. So, it can't lead to ketisha.
Uh-huh.
It's problematic because it's clear from the Gemara that they made a loyplug rabbanim. They asked even such refuahs that have nothing to do with ketisha at all. Even the hot water bottle, there's nothing to be kodesh anything about. I don't know. I'm not sure. Then the Gemara on the last line on Kufi Ralph, when I was going over to the base, speaks about a person who has Haimsuch Raya Denizaisa. He has a barrel full of beer and he has a spigot to be able to open up to get some beer out, and apparently the handle is broken. So instead of opening and closing, he has to put a piece of cloth there, to squeeze in a piece of cloth to hold in the beer that it shouldn't continue to flow. So this piece of cloth, the shmata, that's locking up the spigot, is going to be full of a lot of juice, or a lot of beer, whatever the kind of liquid is that's inside. So the Gemara says that even if you generally think like Rav Shimon, the Dov Sheinu Miskaven is mutter, but this case it's worse than a Dov Sheinu Miskaven. This is actually a psikresha. A moedi Rav Shimon b'psikresha that it's also. Yeah, what is a Dov Sheinu Miskaven means? I'm doing a pula hamuteris, which may or may not result in a pula hasura. Pula hamuteris is to close the faucet, to stop up the faucet. Pula hasura to squeeze out the beer. So the Gemara says, in this case, it's mamash psikresha. So everybody reads a vadoi, that it's going to lead to an issa. So Tosfos has the discussion, what exactly are the yisurim that are involved in squeezing out a liquid that's absorbed in a cloth? There's one isur of disha, and there's one isur of malabin. Malabin is if you make the clothing clean. Malabin is you have dirty clothes and you wash them. The part of the washing process is to soak the kli, to soak the beggar. That's a Gemara in Zvachim that Tosfos quotes, Shriyasu zel kibusai. What's it doing in Zvachim? What's it doing in Zvachim? It should belong in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara is always like that. You can learn the whole Masechet Gittin, and there are a couple of details in Hilchos Gittin that appear in the first parak in Yuma, don't appear anywhere else. And every area of halacha is like that. So here there are some major details in Hilchos Bishul that only appear in Zvachim, and some major details in Hilchos Kibbutz Bigod and Malabin that only appear in Zvachim. Yeah, what is this doing in Zvachim? Because there is a din in Parshas Tzav. If you have a korban chatos and the dam of the chatos is nita zala beged, it says in Chumash you have to be mechabesir b'makom kadosh. You have to wash it out in the azor. So the Gemara discusses there in Zvachim, a daf tzadik dal, a few daf in Gemara there. Perek dam chata shenita zala beged. So the Gemara discusses, is the beged made from cloth? Is the beged made from leather? And what's the difference in hilchos kibus begadim between cloth and leather? So the Gemara says this is one of the differences, that shviyos zel kibus only applies to cloth and doesn't apply to leather. So leather, it's only one can violate kibus on leather clothing as well, but only if you're mishachshech, only if you rub. If you just soak it, that'll only be a violation of malabin, of kibus, if it's a cloth beged. Then Tesis discusses, okay, so that's the explanation why it's in Masech HaZoch. So then in Masech HaZoch, the Mishnais are discussing some of the details of kibus begodim when they get to that mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. Techabez b'makom kodesh. You have to wash it dafke in the azara. Techabez b'makom kodesh. Then Tesis has a discussion, how are we allowed to use a towel? Why don't we say Shviyos HaZeo Kibusos? When you dry your hands off, what are you doing? You're causing the water to get absorbed in the towel. So isn't that the same as Shriya? So Tosfos says, no. Every time you dry, when 100 people use the same towel, so it gets dirty and you have to throw it in the laundry and wash it again. Why do you have to wash it? Why don't you say it keeps on getting cleaner and cleaner? Every time you take a bath, or every time you wash your hands or you wash your face, you dry your body off in a towel. The towel should be getting cleaner and cleaner. The answer is no. You're always wiping off the dirt on the beged. So to wipe off the dirt, there you don't apply Shavuos HaZeo Kibus. You only apply it when you're soaking the beged in water. Then Tosfos has two opinions. This is Taka Shaila Halacha L'Maaseh Ad HaPaskin. The Teretz Yisrael HaMishnayis has a Tshuva L'Halacha on this, in his commentary on Mishnayis. What if you have a clean towel and you throw it into a bathtub full of water? Do you say that Shavuos HaZeo Kibus only applies if you have a stain in the garment, you have some dirt in the beged, but on a clean beged it doesn't apply? Or do you say no, it's mutter if it's derech lichluch? If you wipe your body off in the towel, that's malach lech l'towel. Derech lichluch is mutter. So this is a shaila, which opinion and tesis should we adopt l'halacha? That the only time you apply Shavuos HaZeo Kibus is if there's dirt in the beged, but whenever there's no dirt, to put a clean towel in water, there's no violation. But he say no, the only hetzi you'll have for Shavuos HaZeo, when there's no use of Shavuos HaZeo Kibus, is if you're doing it derech tinuch, you malachlech the towel. But if you're not malachlech it, even though you're not really cleaning it, the towel is clean, maybe there's still be any use of Shavuos HaZeo Kibus. It's hard to understand. Why should be Shavuos HaZeo Kibus? It's a clean towel. What's wrong? So that's 2 days in Tosfos. Then Tosfos discusses the two prohibitions, the Isser of Malabin as well as the Isser of Disha. There should be differences. Malabin depends on making the beged clean. Disha should depend on whether you're going to use the thing that you're squeezing out. Whenever you're Sechet Kvoshim, and you're not going to use what's coming out, you're not going to use the juice that's coming out, so then there's no Isser of Disha. And Tosfos discusses, maybe Shavuos HaZeo Kibus only applies if you use water. What if you're soaking a beged in white wine? If you soak a garment in red wine, so what should I have to say Kibus? Maybe you're staining the beged. What if you're soaking in a white wine? Yeah, but now you're soaking a white wine, makes it sticky. It's going to be full of sweet flavoring. So that's not kibus. So Tosfos is like the lachmer on that. Okay. Different details in Shulchan Aruch on kibus. Yeah, where is the original machlokes of Shimon and Achachamim, where they say, Father, saw the name Elohim? So the original Mishnah is really in Bav Metzi. It says on Kuf Yud Gimel on the base. The Gemara there has like this. If a person took a nether erchen to give to the Beis HaMikdosh an amount of money, and sometimes you can't afford to give the full amount, so it says in the Chumash that you have misadrin, the Bezdin should determine, the Kohanim should determine how much he can afford. So they let him keep some basic amount of clothing, but he shouldn't have to walk around naked. So the shaila, that pasuk, that tells us that the Hekdesh is not going to take away the shirt off of his back is not only because Hekdesh gives people a break. What if Ben Adam Lacha there? A person owes money to another person. And he's Meshabed all the karkos and all the metaltalim and he's Alfilim Aglim of Al Kasha, even the shirt off of his back. Does that to be taken literally? Do you have a right to take the shirt off the fellow's back? But he's saying no, just like there's a din of Misadrin with respect to Erchin, maybe the din is that Misadrin the Baal Chayv as well, that the Malva has no right to take away the last penny of the Loiva. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara, and that's a machlekes the Rabbein Tam and other Rishonim had a pasta. But they say Misadrin the Baal Chayv, Erei Misadrin the Baal Chayv. They used to ask what they considered a trick question in Europe. The question is whether it's such a trick question or not. If a guy has tefillin der Rabbeinu Tam, do you let him keep the tefillin or not? If you all, we pass the Misadrin in the Baal Chayv. So the, it happens that the Torah quotes der Rabbeinu Tam holds la halacha a Misadrin in the Baal Chayv. And Rashi holds Misadrin in the Baal Chayv, Rashi doesn't hold from tefillin der Rabbeinu Tam. So the answer was supposed to be, well, Mimanam Shach. If you hold from the tefillin der Rabbeinu Tam, they hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, he doesn't hold Misadrin at all. And according to Rashi, holds Misadrin, he doesn't hold tefillin der Rabbeinu Tam. But this is a highly questionable riddle. Because who says either you hold all the way like the Rabbeinu Tam, or you never hold like the Rabbeinu Tam? You can hold half like the Rabbeinu Tam, half not like the Rabbeinu Tam. Like the Peladiki Gemara, just because you hold like Rabbi Shimon on Dov Hashanim is Katmin, you have to hold like Rabbi Shimon on Mevoch Hashim Svicha Leguv, you have to hold like Rabbi Shimon on that's how Rashi learned over here. Do you hold like all the kulas of Rabbi Shimon and all Masech HaShabbos from the beginning to the end? So Taisa says, what is he talking about? Why does anybody have to hold like all the Reb Shimon? Either you hold like all the Reb Shimon or hold like no Reb Shimon. So that's a funny riddle. That's what they used to ask the children. What do you say? Would you take away his tomb that I've been in time? I don't know. Anyway, so the din is, on the assumption that Misadrin and the Baal Chayv, that's how we assume, not like the Rabbi in time. Misadrin and the Baal Chayv, that you don't take away the shirt off of his back, so you leave him some clothing for the weekdays and a suit for Shabbos. And you leave him a little bit, the basic necessities, you leave him, and you take whatever extra he has. So the Shabbos, what if the fellow has a very, very expensive suit? And normal people don't wear such expensive suits. He's not such a multimillionaire. So we can really auction up the suit to the highest bidder, get $1 million, buy him a suit for $150, and the remainder, the difference between $1 million and $150 suit, will be able to pay off all the chayvus. So Reb Shimon holds over there, no, call yourself the name of Lachem Hay. Since the guy has the suit already, if he has, let's say, cash, if he has cash, and he says, don't take away, he has $1 million, says, don't take away the $1 million, I want to buy $1 million suit. They say, what are you talking about? You owe $1 million, so take the money. With the money that you have left, you buy a suit. We're not talking case like that, that the guy has cash, he wants to buy an extremely expensive suit. The guy had the crazy golden suit with the diamonds in it, the $1 million suit. Nimshugan, he's wearing this suit. So he says, Rabbi Shimon holds Kolisol b'nei Malachim Haim. So since all the Jews really deserve to be wealthy, so therefore if the fellow has this expensive suit already, you have no right to auction it off to the highest bidder and make him buy a less expensive suit. Now Chachamim hold no. We don't pass him Kolisol b'nei Malachim Haim. Yeah, we agree Kolisol b'nei. They deserve to be wealthy. They deserve to have, everybody should deserve to have Shem Everett. But it doesn't affect halacha. On Shabbos it's still called refuah hanikeres. And as far as the Baal Chayv is concerned, we would say that this is way too expensive to allow him to keep. The Achreinim ask a kasha on the opening Mishnah in Brachas. It says that the Sozman Kriyishma is to Sof Gimel Shoyes Bayom. Why? Because that's the Zman for the B'nai Malachim to wake up. So it sounds as if you're saying the Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim Hay. Because if you don't hold for like Reb Shimon, you don't believe in Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim, so what is the Zman Kima of the B'nai Malachim Lachim? What does it have to do with us? So that's why some of the Mefarshim on the Mishnah has raised this discussion to Tzaris Yisrael, and others on the opening Mishnah, and the beginning of, not the opening Mishnah, one of the early Mishnahs there. So why did the Halachid establish that the Sozman Krishma is up until Gimel Shoyes Bayom? What do we have to do with B'nai Malachim? So the Pashat answer. The Pasha to answer is that as long as it's a Zman Kima for a group of people, so that's still called Bikumecha. Bikumecha doesn't necessarily mean when you are waking up. When there's a minority of people, that's how the Ramban says, Bikumecha is written in the singular, not in the plural, to imply that even though it's a small group of people, it still is considered the Zman of Kima. It doesn't have to be the Zman Kima for you. So that Mishnah Pitashdas doesn't really indicate that we pass the Kol Tzor B'nei Melachim. The Machlekes is in Bob Metzia by Misadrin and over here by the Refuah Hanikarim. Okay. Okay, maybe I'm not supposed to be talking. My doctor told me in order to get better I'm supposed to stop talking for a week. So maybe tomorrow I won't talk. Okay. And the Linetta, the Bechina will be, I think, at 9:30 in the classroom on Thursday morning. So then I won't talk for a week after.